anyway, I'm going to talk to you. It's something that I spoke out in the church there, because Andy, you mentioned that they sometimes say, okay, then I'll be a Christian, not knowing what on earth it means. And I want to just bring to you just something, and I hope you get something from it as well, about a renewed mind. We've got three verses in the Bible by St. Paul. Have you got it up there? Yeah. Can you put all three up? Great. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And again, he writes in 2 Corinthians 4:16, even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that encouraging? Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, created according to God in true holiness and righteousness. So we take it from there that at conversion, we repent. Yeah, we believe in Jesus. Ah, there's a bit more though. We've got to let the Holy Spirit come in and renew that mind. Can you remember when you were converted? Did that change take place? Did you feel, wow, I'm actually thinking differently? I did. I hope you did too. But we've got to get that over to some ties, that there is that change. They're still in that place where they're not sure, and you've got to sort of encourage them. Did God tell you that? And, you know, encourage them in that. And it does encourage us to know that God does change you. It's not our decision. It is, in a way. God has a hand in this, and he does change your mind to think of him. And it's not just for one time. Or do you think that's it? No. You keep on walking with God. You journey in with God. You're learning about the kingdom of God. And then things hit you. And that's the renewing of your mind. And you think, oh, wow, I didn't know that truth. Wow, that's good. And then you go on, don't you, and you learn another bit and another bit and another bit. And before you know, you're growing in God. Isn't that great how God works it? He doesn't force us along. He doesn't get the whip. He just loves us along. I loved some of those songs, by the way, that you guys sang, because it just brought that out. Oh, the awesomeness of God and how he loves us so, so much. And that's the way he brings us along in him, isn't it? He says that we're new creations. That's how he feels. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. And behold, all things, not one thing, all things have become new. And was that with you when you were converted? I hope so. All things have become new. So you're a new person. Maybe not to look at. Maybe you've got a glow about you. We were just saying, weren't we? You can often just talk with somebody and you realize, oh, they're in Christ. They love Jesus like me. And that's lovely. You can see that in people. And in that way, you can see it. But really, it's inside. God changes you inside. I remember Andy when he was first converted. The first year or so. He's looking at me now. And you know, each message, he was in tears. And they at that time, they used to call you out. He used to be walking out to the front every week, floods of tears. You remember that, Andy? And it was just God absolutely changing him. And it was a tough time, wasn't it, at that time? Do you remember? But you see what God's done in him now. Yeah. When I was little, you know, I was so shy. I used to hide behind my mum's skirt and never say hello to anyone. And when I went to school, I was so shy, I didn't dare say anything or do anything. I've changed. When I was converted, you know, a big change happened in me. I realized if I'm going to keep quiet like it's me, really, then no one will hear. No one will hear about Jesus and what he's done for us. And that hit me. And I thought, like your song, I've got to be bold. I've got to be brave, wasn't it? And I thought, wow, that is so, so true. So forget the shyness. You know, you're going to try and be brave from now on. And I'm sure many of you maybe have gone through the same thing, that you do need to be brave for Jesus, don't you? I mean, somewhere in Thailand, when we do outings, we have fetes and things. And they have little nail bars, you know, and you paint the nails. But as you're talking to people, you see, do you know Jesus? They can ask, you know, and if they say, well, I heard about him, you know, someone was talking, well, I can tell you a bit more about him. And they're painting your nails, so you can't move, can you? And the girls who come, and they hear about Jesus. Simple. But I'm sure there's other ways in this country that we can start up a conversation and get that over to them. Well, I've gone on my rabbit hole again, but hey, we never mind. Yes. Did you realize what is seen around us is temporary, but what gets in you is for eternity? It's eternal. Which do you think's the best? Oh, it's just amazing, isn't it? What God can put in you is for eternity. It's the best that you can have. But we don't have to worry too much about what's around us. The little things of life. Yeah, we all have these little things, don't we? Things go wrong. But it's not really that important as heavenly things and your growth in God and, you know, being bold for Jesus and working out your place in following him. You know, so next time, you know, you get a cut like me when you're slicing the bread or something. Oh, you know, okay, pastor. Don't worry too much, eh? It's little things that hurt, I know. So, in the Gospels, we see Jesus revealing this sort of newness to his disciples. Many, many times he tries to teach them, just as he tries to teach us today. Now, the disciples, they weren't that brilliant sometimes. Sometimes they got many things wrong. Do we? I know I do. You know, you think, oh, did that again. Oh, you thought I would have got over that by now. And you realize, you know, you're not perfect by any means. But he wants you to be. And he doesn't give up. And he didn't give up with the disciples, did he? Kept on training them more and more and sending them out. And amazingly, they were okay and they got on with the job. You remember that time he sent them out in twos? And they came back absolutely overjoyed because people had been healed. And they'd been able to talk to people and tell them about the kingdom of God. And they were overjoyed, all talking when they got back, telling Jesus what had happened. And of course, Jesus knew. And he was training them up so that when he left, they'd know what to do. And it's the same with us. Jesus has given us the power. He doesn't want you to waste your life. He wants you to use it for his glory. So, you know, let's get on to it, yeah? I'm sure there's a few things I've forgotten here. You know, going back, let's go back. Jesus spoke to the disciples. Let's have one of the stories. It's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35. And he tells them about... he doesn't tell them. Eventually, the disciples are asleep in the boat. Let's put it this way. They're asleep in the boat, and then they get worried because of the storm coming, yeah? And they say, oh, Jesus, wake up. Wake up, Jesus. He's asleep in the storm. And the disciples were afraid. They'd already been out healing people in the streets. They'd already been around with Jesus, so they knew what could happen. Already the 5,000 had been fed. So, you know, you thought that they'd got it in there. But in this storm, they were battling the storm and Jesus was asleep. And they were afraid. And they said, come on, Lord, come and help us. And he did. He got up, calmed the storm. And then he said to them, oh ye of little faith. You remember that phrase? You have such little faith at the moment. Come on. You know, you can have more. You don't have to rely on just me to do it. I'm always with you. I want you to do it. And that's, again, one of your... I thought your songs were absolutely perfect. Again, he doesn't want us to always... Can I have a new Bible, Lord? That's a good prayer, you think. Can I... maybe I need a car, Lord. You know, all prayers like that to God. No. He wants to get in you and he wants to work with you and you work with the Lord and do stuff for him. Isn't that exciting? He wants us to work. We call it co-laboring with him, but it's working with him and getting in there and not simple prayers like, you know, I want this, I want that, but depth prayers. It's the same when, you know, things like you ask things for healing for people. That's great. You know, do you think he can heal? He can heal. He's healed me once with my toe. I know he's healed Frank with his broken arm, a friend of ours in Thailand, and it was healed the next day. When he got up, he suddenly thought, oh, it's working. And he went and did. God heals, doesn't he? There's many times. I'm not going to mention them all. But God heals. So if we feel that we need healing, get others around us. Don't just do it on your own. If you think, oh, I don't know if I've got the faith. Well, don't push yourself too much in that then. Get the others. Look, these guys believe in healing. Get them around you. Get people praying for you till it happens. And don't give up, even if you just pray once. You know, keep on till it happens. Because God, it's like that keeping on if you want bread or something, isn't it, in the Bible? Anyway, another story. Right, getting back to the sleep, being Jesus being asleep in the boat. Okay, he was trying to train the disciples, wasn't he? To do things, not just to ask him to do them all the time, but to get doing them. Okay, and the same with us. Going back, though, again, you know, Jesus said to them, or to the storm, be still. He was telling the storm off, really, and telling it off and telling it what to do. So, where did that storm come from? This sort of thing renews your mind when you realize, and you read in the Bible, and you realize what it means. Where did that storm come from? Do you think it was God? Had God sent that storm upon that lake? Jesus always did what his father was doing. He saw what daddy did and thought, yeah, I'm going for that. He wouldn't have commanded the storm to stop if it was God who was behind that storm. So it wasn't. And in life, we often blame God for things that are not really there. You know, it's either something we've done wrong that's caused it, or it's Satan. There is Satan in this world that battles against us. And don't give him too much power, though. Almighty God has all the power. One day we'll realize how little Satan is. But he does battle against us. And who knows? I think this storm was Satan against the disciples, because Jesus wouldn't have said, peace, be still. He wouldn't dare say that to his father, who'd caused a storm. So it wasn't Daddy God. It was Satan who caused this storm. And so in storms in life, you go against it and you command against it, because it's not of God. if one or two of you think, well, oh, I've got this wrong with me, maybe God sent it. No, God loves you to bits. He wouldn't send something like that on you. Just recognize it can be sort of in the family line, I know, and it can be of Satan, or it can be something we've done wrong and caused and eaten or whatever, and we're ill. But don't blame God, yeah? Because he loves you, absolutely loves you. Get that in your mind. Renew your mind. Let Holy Spirit just come on you and renew your mind in him so that you start thinking the right thoughts and start thinking in him, and you flow in what he wants you to do, and you're ready to learn more each day. Okay? So remember, renew, let that mind continue being renewed. Better stop. Thank you all for listening anyway. Just a few of my thoughts there, and a few of other people's thoughts I flung in as well.
Thanks, Annie Bell. Thank you, thank you, thank you.